Om Shanti. My name is Brother Colin from Cape Town, South Africa, for those that haven't met me yet. And today's topic is being resilient. This is the key to success. And the topic will be handled by a person who understands resilience in its deepest form. Brother Ken is an Australian who's been living in Brazil since 79. Okay. He has been an industrial chemist and has also done management programs for various organizations. So the organization development side of it, as well as the deeply specific chemical analysis that is needed. So the macro and the micro. Brother Ken is at the moment the co-director or coordinator of 30 branches of the Latin American countries. So he's very busy with all of that as well. So you can see the resilience in this build up to the topic of inner resilience and the keys to success. Brother Ken.
Om Shanti. Everything okay? I was been wanting to come over this side, but I've been caught up in the NCCC board retreat, and we just finished last night. I thought I'd have today a little bit free, but here I am. This is also freedom, right? But as he was saying, there's a lot of things to look after and look at and to deal with. And I would just share some things that I've learned since coming to Baba and the many different situations that come up for which there's no way that we could be prepared. So it's like you have to take the punches in a way and flow with the things as they happen. And I remember, and this idea occurred to me, I've always, at the same time, I've been developing service. I started the centre in Sydney, in Australia. And then, after a few years, Daddy G sent me to Brazil. And I've always had to, at the same time, work professionally. Not only because it was good, because even Daddy G said you don't need to work, or Daddy G also said, because service was growing a lot. But I insisted that it was good because contacts were very easy. It's easier to convince others working side by side with them than, let's say, taking them some toldi and tying a rucky, you know, giving them a book. So most of our good contacts in Brazil actually came up through association with the sort of work I was doing. And I remember I was doing some work, Lockheed work, in Mexico, just all over the place. And me and another Australian, we'd been contracted by the governor of a state of Mexico to help structure his state government and all of the state departments. And this was over a couple of years. I used to go quite often to Mexico from Brazil. It's not close. It's like going from London to Dubai. Maybe London to Delhi, actually. That's the distance between Sao Paulo and Mexico City. And the governor had organized an international program on quality. And I was walking around the auditorium wondering what I'm going to talk about outside. And I picked up a stick. And I had a metal rod in my bag. So this will be interesting. I'll use this to show an idea. Because the idea that my talk was actually about resilience. And what that got to do with being productive. And of course, ever since I started in Gyan in 1975, so 45 years, in London, in a very tiny little centre. And now my teachers, there were three teachers and five students. The three teachers were Sister Jenti, Daddy Janki, and Sister Sudesh. So good teachers. A good trio. And a very tiny little room. The Morley room was, just this little bit of the stage here. That was the size of the class. I think you could fit 10 people in the room. And so always I'd been meditating and working side by side, living in the center always, ever since, except for those first 3 months before I got back to Australia and I started the center. I'd been living in a center ever since early 1976. Living in the center, mostly the center coordinator also. So working logically, full-time job actually, and also working here and there and looking after the center, cooking, you know how it is. If you have a good experience, try to do all of those things. Full-time job, full-time center coordinator. The only one that knows how to cook in those days, and so on. So fortunately, always I've had the parallel streams of my meditation practice, Amrit Vela, Murli, and all of that, and work, and the demands of initially I worked in research and development, so that was pretty heady work, so it was a good balance. The spiritual and the intellectual. But then I started to work in organizational stuff. Strategic planning, leadership development, organizational development, all of that. Processes in organizations, how to streamline them. So I picked up all of these abilities. And I remember just going back to this talk, which was about resilience and productivity. So I walked into the auditorium with a stick that I'd picked up, and I'd taken the metal rod out of my bag. And the governor was sitting in the front row. This governor, actually, his name was Vicente Fox. So after his very good state government, he became president of Mexico. And again, that was he invited us to restructure the Ministry of Education in that country. So, huge project. I had 100 consultants working with me. And I was a big project. But again, resilience. If I hadn't meditated, let me tell you, most of the big challenges in my life, professionally, the answer for me was not the technical understanding of things, but was dharana. Just dharana, just being able to respond to a difficult situation in the most adequate way, according to Baba's dharana and Srimad. So instead of in work giving gyan to others, my life was an example of a very good professional. And I say that without any modesty, because I really ended up getting some really high-level contracts. I've worked big multinationals, the top level in those companies, plus governments. And again, we were working with the president of a country. And so I just in the middle of my talk, I pulled out these two sticks. Sorry, the rod and the stick. I said, if I, press down on two sides of the stick very hard, what's going to happen to it? That's a very dry stick. If I hold it like that, what's going to happen? It'll break. So I said, I just pretended it was hard to break, but actually just folded, just cracked. And then I pulled out the metal rod and I said, what if I do it with this one? What's going to happen? I won't be able to bend it. It was a pretty thick rod. Impossible to even bend, let alone break. So what's happening in the rod? There are two things. There's tension, tension because I can't break it. I'm trying to break it and, the muscles are getting tense and my facial muscles all sort of screwing up. And I'm trying to break this metal rod. And I'm saying that, look, there are a few forces here. Actually, there are three variables. The tension is related to two things. It's the pressure applied and the resilience, the resistance. So any tension will always have two forces working against each other. The pressures and the resistance to the pressure. That's how it is. That's physics. So if you want to reduce tension, you have to reduce the pressure or you have to increase the resilience. Yeah? If you have enormous pressure and not much resilience, what's going to happen? You're going to break. You'll break up. So, how do we do that? How do we reduce pressure? We can reduce pressure, first of all, understanding there are two types of pressure. There are the real pressures, which are due to our life, like deadlines, bills to pay. Let's say your kids go to a school and there's a lot of violence in the neighborhood. Maybe your children are demanding and you have to face it. Who decided to have those kids? Who decided to have the sort of work that you do? So if you work in a particular place, it's because you've accepted that job, even knowing that it may be difficult, right? Who here has a difficult job? Yeah? Some people. Who doesn't work at all? Very few. Who has an easy job? Okay. Even looking after your household is not an easy job these days, right? So you've got these real situations that are pressuring. What do you do with them? You have to accept it. Okay, I did it. I decided. This is my life. This is part of it. I understood that this would be a difficult job, so I accepted it even then, because I needed the money, for example. Or you take up a higher level responsibility, you know that's going to be tougher, because you're more responsible, there's more things to do or to look after. Maybe your boss is a terrible person too, that could be there. Anyway, you accepted that, you understood that, that's part of it. If you're married and with kids, it's because you decided to get married and have kids. So what to do? You can't hand your kids back in, right? I didn't want this one. I wanted someone else. I wanted a better one, This one that came, no way, So these things I have to accept. I have to understand the implications, understand all of the package that came with that decision, and there's nothing I can do except accept it. Acceptance is different from resignation. Resignation means, take me. I can't do anything. Acceptance means that I'm open. I've understood. This is it. And so, if I accept something and I understand why I've accepted something, the pressure becomes less. When I don't accept it, even though, let's say, I have something that I have to do and I don't want to do it, you know, often service is like that too. Baba takes us into situations, and you see, there are those souls that will do anything for Baba, will try anything for Baba. And there are others that say, no, I will only do this thing for Baba, because, you know, they have a limited view of their possibilities. So, and I would say insecurity, because this is my comfort level, let me just do this thing, things are too difficult. So they never dare any further than what they think they're able to do. So they remain within those parameters of their own fear. There are many that I know are like that. But if you're open and accepting and, you know, okay, this is part of it, right? Okay, wonderful. Then acceptance with understanding reduces any pressure. The second type of pressure are the unreal ones, unreal pressures, the ones that we imagine. You know, that I think something's going to happen. It's connected with anxiety. You know, anxiety in the world is related to uncertainty. And people are uncertain. Uncertainty is increasing in the world, and so anxiety also. If you look at the graphs, depression in most countries going up, the levels of depression, the percentage of the population that has depression and also anxiety, it's the same curve. They're different, right? Depression is related to sorrow and not being able to deal with your life, and maybe connected with weight that you're carrying from past, possibly. But anxiety is more connected with fear and uncertainty. Noted in the US, crime rates are actually going down, but anxiety is going up because of the uncertainty. You don't know that if you're going to some McDonald's restaurant, for example, some idiot comes in and shoots everyone. Right? That's a particularly gruesome aspect of modern society at the moment. So anything can happen. Even Baba says the lesson of suddenly, anything can happen to anyone at any time. I've seen sisters and brothers in, you know, perfectly okay in the morning, morally, you know, serving breakfast or this or that. In the evening, they're sick. Next day, they're dead. You know, we've seen it. So we are living in the times of suddenly, and it produces a lot of imagination. Anything can happen. At the moment, look at, if someone were measuring it, what's the connection between anxiety and coronavirus? You'd probably see that they're going up and down. Because the stock exchange also reflects that, up and down with the fear. The dollar up and down. Yeah? The value of gold up and up, right? Because people think that gold is the only way that they're going to secure their wealth. But on a personal level, anxiety is more connected with worrying about a future that probably won't happen. 97% of our worries never actually happen. Only 3% of them do. So 97% of the time that we worry is absolutely unconnected with reality. So the problem is, which is the 3% of the ones that are actually going to happen? So you even become worried about that. What of my worries? You worry about worry. Which of my worries will actually happen? So the answer to all of that is to try to control your thinking. And why? You should always ask yourself, if worry starts to come in about anything, what will happen? Who will do what? How will this happen? And if this person leaves, if this person comes, if this person appears, if this person goes, if this situation happens, if this other situation happens, you know, you start to produce a whole lot of useless thinking, which actually weighs down on you, pressure. So the antidote of these unreal pressures is to use the control of thought, because it's basic to our practice of Raja Yoga. Control our thinking. Why am I thinking this? Why do I need to think this? Do I have all of the facts? In fact, if you should think like this, only worry when you have all of the facts. And when you have all of the facts, there may be a cause to worry, because one of those elements could be scary, right? But until you have the facts, why worry, you know? It's like uncertainty, insecurity, fear. It's a vice, actually. It's a vice. Baba says this is like there are five vices, and then there's fear and worry, which are pretty much their brother and sister, I think. And then there's laziness, is also the seventh vice. So it is a vice to worry. It's like arrogance. It's not natural. If we had all of the facts about a situation, then yes, okay, well, yeah, this one here, this fact here makes me a bit afraid. But until I have all the facts, why would I do that? Why? And again, if I have all of the facts, I'll probably be more relaxed. At least I know what's happening. But when you start to think about other people, it becomes complicated, because you imagine what someone else is going to do when that other person doesn't even know what they're going to do. So why would I get involved in predicting someone's behavior when the person, he or herself, doesn't even know, you know? People are unpredictable, right? Do you think people have the same mood every day? Huh? No, different. So how do we deal with these unreal pressures is to develop the power to control. Is this a useful thought? Is this not a use? Is this going to help me or is not? Will this help me get to the golden age thinking this way or not? Will this make the relationships here around me harmonious or not? These sorts of things. Have some criteria to judge whether a thought is useful or not. And again, if you have that, it does take some time to train yourself up, because this is an internal pathway that if you have the habit of just thinking uselessly, it takes some time. I would say it takes at least 2 months to change a habit. But that means pretty consistent, you know, work on a particular habit. And doing something the opposite of the habit to make it, you know, to neutralize it. Otherwise you may make effort for a day and the next day you go back. So it's like going 5 steps forward, then 5 steps backward, then 10 steps forward, then 20 steps backward. So the life after 6 months of going backwards and forwards, you're still in the same place. You know, I really made a lot of progress yesterday, but I didn't get up from Amrit Vela today. So, like, all of that great stuff yesterday finished, you know. And so Baba was talking today about not taking our thoughts into action. So at that level even, we have to start to think. So if I'm just creating pressure on myself because I haven't understood and accepted my circumstances, and secondly, I'm creating pressure on myself by thinking uselessly, and that creates weight, and weight creates pressure, then of course there's no way I can not feel tension, yeah. You know, so the pressure much more than my ability to resist. But if at the same time, and resilience is all about strength, It's not even power. Power is a sort of, is a result of strength. But internally strong means that I've understood my relationship with Baba. And because he's the most stable factor in the universe, then I would, you know, I would be able to come closer, and stay closer to him. So that's a whole other story, my ongoing relationship and company, right? I think the overall title of this particular segment of the Double Foreigners Program is about companionship with the Father. And that relationship has to be real and not based on blind faith or, you know, devotion or anything like that. So just think about it. How stable are you? Because stability and resilience are connected with strength. Something happens, right? I want you to think now about a particular situation you may be going through, yeah? Or that you've gone through recently that made you think more than you needed to think. Have you got a situation like that? Something happened in service, in the centre, at your Lockheed work or at home. Something happened that made you think more. It got you sort of a little bit worried, or you created useless thoughts about something. Have you got such a situation in your mind? Yeah? Got it? So I'm going to give you some work to do. Do you have a notebook? Do you have a notebook or an iPhone? Yeah? So I'm going to ask you to do three things. Yeah. If you've got an extra pen, you can share it with someone. I want you to think about, I want you to describe that situation if you were a reporter. Completely objective. What happened, or what's happening, who is involved, what are the influences, like that. Just make a short comment, like a description, completely objective description, as if you were someone else looking at that situation, describing it. Someone completely neutral describing the situation. This one is like that, this one did that, this one said this, this other one is planning that. So just describe it completely objectively to yourself. Just the description, a few sentences. People involved, what was said or done. Possible consequences. Just by being objective, you'll find that you start to relax. Being the detached observer automatically creates a state of internal rest. So, next, related to this, it's part of the same question actually, what does Gyan tell me about this situation? What are the Gyan ingredients here? Karma, you know, souls playing roles, Brahma. What does Gyan tell me about this situation? like looking at it with the third eye, right? If your third eye was completely open, what would you see? Write it down. Okay, next question. This is the second question. There were two parts of the first question. This is number two. I want you to invoke Baba, invoke Baba's presence. You can even close your eyes just to do this. So internally, I'm in front of Baba. I've used Gyan to describe the situation. But now I ask Baba, what do you feel? What's your feeling towards this situation? He's the ocean of peace or the ocean of benevolence or mercy. Ocean of purity. What does Baba feel about this? So invoke this highest feeling. What is the highest feeling that I can have at this moment? And again, seeing yourself. And feel that. Baba's together with you, and he's just radiating his feeling, and I'm just picking up Baba's feeling and feeling the same thing. So, just that highest feeling possible towards this situation. So it's like have the highest and cleanest emotion possible towards this. And feel it. You don't need to write much, you have to feel it. So meditation is much more about feeling than thinking. So feel what Baba feels. He's the ocean of benevolence. How would an ocean of benevolence feel? The ocean of happiness. Doesn't matter. For him, that any situation like that is so tiny. And not just that, Gyan has already told me it repeats, right? Not a big thing, it happens every cycle, right? So Baba never loses that perspective of eternity. Okay, got it? So the last question. In terms of spirituality, how do I have to be? How should I be? In the face of this situation and any situation similar to that in the future, how do I have to be? And it should be just one word. It's as if Baba is saying, child, be something. Be still, be quiet, be silent, be peaceful, be loveful, be something. In that way, if you've been able to, in the face of that situation, understood what you had to be, then you know what is resilience. What resilience means that I continue to be what I have to be. Doesn't matter what's going on. I don't change. Situation may change, but I don't change. Before, during, after the situation, I remain the same internally. That's resilience. So what happened? Talk with the person next to you. Share. If there's someone who speaks your language and they're sitting next to you, share. What happened in the thinking and the feeling and the being? Share for a few minutes. It's not a great room to do a workshop in, but we can share a little bit. Why not? What happened? What was the situation? And how did you deal with it? How did you become more resilient? If you're sitting alone, find somebody near you. Share your wisdom. Even if it's a group of three, it's okay. At least two, but three is okay. Find someone who speaks your language. Fine. Do I have a hand? Yeah. What happened? Why are you laughing? Did anyone have a big aha moment? Yeah? Aha! Ha! Ah.
That is not only me. There's others.
Okay, share. Share what happened, because this is the secret about building resilience, to be able to align those three things. Align your objectivity, align your feeling, align your state of being. Those three things. If you can do that, you'll be okay. Any situation. So.
Om Shanti, I just wanted to share that I felt a relief, as if I'm not the only one who is experiencing her feelings. I mean, negative feelings that I felt.
Yeah, experts in feeling. We've been developing negative feelings for 63 births, so we've become experts. And if we're not careful, it takes over.
Exactly.
That pathway is very, very well trodden. And that will take us there. Who else would like to share? Even if you need translation, I can probably do. Finish.
Om Shanti. I was happy to notice that even though there was like a lot of thoughts going on, maybe I wasn't as anxious as I would have been previously. I wasn't as upset as I would have been previously. So I was happy to notice that I'm making progress.
Wow.
It's not as gross. It's getting less and less. More confused than upset now. More like, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not so emotional, but there's like confusion that happens.
A lot of thinking still there. A bit
yes.
of work to do.
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, who else? Or even if you have a question, we can take the chance to answer any questions. No? No questions. Oh, here's one. Or experience.
Yeah, I'd like to just share my experience because I found this topic very serendipitous.
Pardon?
Serendipitous. Because, I'll tell you what it is. Contractor leaves couple homeless. So I'll just read it out as detached as I can. A couple is left without a home since 21st October 2019. Since unfinished renovations has left the delay of completion four times over the last 5 months. And I think the resilience has been playing itself out for the last 5 months. I had to be detached and let the drama and Baba take over. But I think what I appreciated in this whole example was seeing how Baba is resolving it and then also how merciful I needed to be.
Yeah, sometimes we are very hard on ourselves. And that's because we have become hard. Being strong doesn't mean to become hard. Actually, resilience is much more related to suppleness, you know, that you can just bend it. It's more like bamboo rather than oak. You know, it's like some wood that can just break easily. Bamboo bends. So resilience is like a sort of a unbreakable bamboo, if you can imagine that. Strong, supple, and can withstand. Doesn't matter what comes along. Generally, in the tropical countries, after a very, you know, strong tropical storm, the only thing that's left standing is the bamboo. Yeah. Other trees fall down. I was just also thinking that we have to, because there's an inner state, that if I can cultivate it, I'm always strong, no matter what goes on outside. And there has to be, therefore, this separation. You know, there's a few roots of the word person. It comes from Latin. But basically in Latin the word to make sound is sonare, and per sonare means to make sound. So this thing here, the person, is the instrument that we have to make sound through. But I'm not the instrument that I make sound through. I am the one making the sound. So this person that I've become is caught up in so many situations. And because it's very shallow, it's only, you know, in fact, that word personari in Latin, in the Roman theatre, it became persona, which is the name of the mask that they used in Roman theatre. And that mask was made of wax. So therefore the word in Latin for without is sin. And wax is sera. And so sincera, sincere. Sincere means no wax, no mask, no person, no thing. I'm the one behind that. So that's the first thing I have to get clear. That I am the one making the sound through this. I'm the one making the sound, but I'm not the sound box itself. I'm not the instrument. I use this instrument, the body, and I use the instrument, which is this name. It's not just the form, it's the name also. Name and form have come together, and they make the person. And that person is another, has another word for it called ego. Yeah? So it's the limited sense of being. And that limited sense of being is very fragile and very shallow. And just by definition, it cannot create its own strength because it is just the outward shell of something deeper. But if I'm totally identified with this outward shell, which is the person, the ego, I'm so-and-so, I did this, I did that, and I'm caught up in this life, and, this happening and that is happening and all, this story that we carry of ourselves is so shallow because it's not it's just the topmost layer of me. It's not me. It's just what I've become, and I'm not what I've become. So unless I get that right, I won't be able to strengthen myself. Because who strengthens the self is the self. The soul strengthens itself. But to start to strengthen the self, it has to become the soul. So it has to detach from, name and form. And the story of the name and the form too. Right? Basically, if you think of that situation that you just remembered, it was a situation in which the person was involved, right? It was a situation in which your idea of yourself, this walking history, this history with, a moving story with arms and legs, right? That I did this, I did that, and now this happened, and now that happened, and this person didn't understand me, and now it's difficult for me, and so on and so forth. The me of this story is just a very fragile thing. It's a very superficial thing. And of course, it will never be strong. So forget it. Your name and form will never be stronger than the soul itself. Because they're just temporary. So what happens is that we've delegated all of our sense of being to a temporary situation, and we've invested in that temporary situation, we get upset. Who got upset? Was it the soul that got upset? Or was it the ego that got upset? Which one? Yeah. Easy. So if ego is doing everything, ego will also not sort this out. So this whole thing of being resilient, the thing that we have to underline is being. Who is the resilient one? Is it the name and the form? No. That's just the outward shell. That was the outermost part of us. And temporary. It's the thing I use to make sound through. I make myself present here in this world. And it's also not a permanent setup, is it? It's not gonna last, basically. And that's the one who meditates. Right? The soul meditates, not you've been having a hard time, it's been really difficult. You haven't been talking well with the people around you. You may be thinking that nobody understands you and nobody really, I'm really trying to understand these relationships with these other beings. It's not been easy and so on. So in that consciousness, you go into Baba's room and you cry all over the carpet. Or just complain. But the thing is that level of operation neither will resolve anything, nor will that level of operation get you any sort of relief from Baba. Because until we're away from that, we won't start to get the power that we need or the strength that we need. So it is a challenge because we're permanently locked in situations that call on our abilities, call on our memories, call on our experience, call on our story. And so I'm always being reinforced about my own story. Every time you fill in a form, you know, name, address, profession and so on. How many forms have we filled in our lives? Thousands and thousands. And how many other things have we reminded or situations have reminded us because you are good at this, so please do this. I've come to you because I think you know this or know the situation. So even the situation reinforce that temporary state. But I have to go, the strength is not there. The strength has to be through that. It's just an instrument of the strength. Just as it is an instrument of sound, per sonare, to make sound. Sound is also that word sonare, right? Sound, son. So, probably is not relevant in Russian, or the Latin languages and English as it works, or Vietnamese. But it's an interesting, you know, thing that we've got this instrument. We were born into a body, in a situation, in a culture, and so on, which is actually just a very external, superficial state. The real story is a deeper one, and that real story has come from many lives as well, the deeper story. So I have to bring strength into the deep story. Because that's where real problems are. You know, all of the things that may happen will continue happening until I sort out the deeper story, right? It's not, if not with that one, it'll be with this one. If not here, it'll be there. You know, we run around the whole, we run here and there trying to get away from something that we can't get away from because it's inside of us. Who thinks? Soul. Who feels? Soul. Who understands? Soul. Who, therefore, has to develop strength? Soul. And how? There's only one sort of strength. One. One. Anything else is like continually exchanging six for half a dozen, which is the same, right? And think that six different from half a dozen. Six is the same as half a dozen, just a different expression. Yeah? Oh, half a dozen. Wow, now I've understood. No, it's the same six. So that cultivating that inner life, that inner being, and cultivating the strength of the inner being, is really independent of external circumstances. They can be any sorts of circumstances. And you know, because of our sanskars, until our sanskars change, we'll always be surrounded by similar circumstances. So So it's funny, you try to change all of the circumstances, but they end up sort of morphing into the same arrangement because the sanskars continue. Now I have to change the deep sanskars that form things. Strength in the eternal. And there is the deepest of all connections that we have with others and with Baba is at the level of the soul. Now, if the soul is isolated because it's like encapsulated by the ego, it's like covered by all of the things and therefore isolated, it can neither derive power from others nor give power. So if you're sort of isolated in your own ego, all you're doing is just using up whatever energy you have. You're neither getting energy nor being able to give it. And I think that's the state of the majority. Brahmins are starting to understand this, but the majority of human beings in the world, they are really like islands with no connection with anyone else. The connections are not strength-based connection, they're based on weaknesses. So any if you're connected with something that is giving and taking other things except spiritual power, or non-spiritual attitudes or behaviors, then you are not actually gaining any power at all, just using up whatever you have. And even if you like that and you try to contact with Baba, even Baba's strength won't get through because you're holding yourself in a little prison. So it's like you're in a prison, you're watching the sun outside the prison. It's nice. You can see it, but it's not coming in. So I want you to do an exercise now, if possible. Easy. I want you to write down the name of someone with whom you have a lot of interaction. Some other person, could be a relative, could be another Brahmin, but the person with whom you most interact, yeah? Whoever that is. It could be good, could be bad, could be mixed, good and bad. So who is the person with whom you interact a lot? Should be someone at least. If you put no one, I really will feel sorry for you. You're not only alone, but you've been abandoned probably, or you've abandoned. Got someone? Yeah? At least one? One other? Yeah? Could be a Brahmin, could be a relative, could be your boss. I hope not. Okay. Now, I want you to do the following. Don't need to look at the page now. Don't even put your paper and pen down. You can keep your eyes unfocused. Not closed, but unfocused. Now bring onto the screen, if you mind, that person, the form, the name and the form. Okay, there you are. As if that person is sitting in front of you and you're giving them drishti. Mentally, you're that person sitting in front of you, and even though they may not understand what drishti is, you are in that state of giving drishti. Now, little by little, let that form, that image of the person dissolve, so that you're not seeing the face anymore, just the point of light behind the forehead. You're just seeing that. It's actually, the point of light, which is you, just connected at a very deep level, a completely pure and spiritual relationship with that other point of light. You're not even aware of the name and the form anymore. And you can understand that that other point of light is very similar to you in many ways. There's nothing else actually, it's just two points of light and the connection. So all of the other attributes and relationships also dissolve. There's actually no other connection with this other person. There's no mother, child, or husband, wife, or brother, sister, or student, center coordinator. There's nothing there. No relationship. Just the pure connection, soul, soul. And it's along that connection that any power can be sent out or received. So while that other point of light is in front of me, I become aware of the supreme point of light, the spiritual sun. Again, nothing else there except the eternal connection. Soul God, nothing else. Soul and source of power. And I just take in that power naturally. I feel so protected, so close. And naturally that's coming through me and going to the other one. That other point of light in front of me. And in fact, the name and the former have disappeared. It's just me, Baba, and this other soul. Nothing else. Now, many other things can happen around this most basic of all connections. Many other things can happen around this. But no matter what happens, this deep, subtle connection, soul to soul, is eternal. The deep, subtle connection, soul to supreme soul. Is the main connection of all connections. So I feel so fortunate, so lovely, so good that this has happened. And I can understand the essence of everything. Coming back, now again the image of the other one starts to take shape again. I am aware. Baba's behind me and with me, but I become aware at least of, you know, the identification of the other. But I know that the deep, deep, deep connection is not one connected with body, not one connected with relationship or even abilities or interests. Just soul to soul. So open your eyes a little bit more. What happened? How do you feel? Share with the people next to you. What happened? How do you feel? Do you understand the secret of inner strength? Okay, one more minute. If you've got any questions also, you can maybe elaborate one. You can deal with one or two questions, and then we'll have some meditation. Okay, Om Shanti. How do you feel? Do you feel touched by Baba's magic? You see, Baba operates at a subtle level. I have to be as subtle as the level that Baba operates from. Otherwise, I won't be able to take the full advantage of it. Yeah? Have you got any questions? Or comments? Yeah. Questions or comments? Speak slowly, because most of the people here don't have English as their first language.
Okay.
I speak Australian.
Brother Ken, you are known for a very wide and deep understanding of Baba's knowledge in multifaceted forms, you know. I just wanted to ask just one question. What kind of efforts BKs need to make now at the final moments of the cycle?
I think it's the same effort, but deeper. We had a meeting with the RCs, the regional coordinators, which I'm part of, and Bridge Moenby is also part of a meeting every year. And he's like representing India, and he's of course our senior brother. And he started his comments off, because the question that we put to him was exactly that one: what efforts do we need to make now in these closing scenes of the drama? He said we have to create more collective power, because we have to increase the strength of our vibration together. And that, of course, requires us to stop living in our individual little caves and really start to be part of a wider community mentally. He said we should create such a strong vibration together that automatically separates the people, the souls that have to go to the golden age and the ones that have to go back home, without saying much. But such a powerful vibration together that, now if I ask myself, okay, our duty is not to protect ourselves. Yeah? It's not an individual thing. Our duty is to create power together, to create strength together. And there is a project coming up that which will help us to do that, to have the same similar thoughts. So I guess in our different centers we can start working on creating one thought together. And it's easy, because if we are all remembering the same Baba and we're all coming closer to Baba from different angles, as we come closer to the same Baba, we also come closer to each other, right? And so that has to be our attention. And if I'm doing that, I'm helping to create collective power, then I definitely do not need to worry about my own particular problems and circumstances. Because that united service is what Baba requires of us. There are so many Maulis about this. So what do I need to do to create a force of unity? And of course that can happen with the people around me in the center where I am. And if I'm participating in the whole, I don't have to worry about the little details of my little piece and things. Yes, Baba, the description of the actual physical aspects of the final things, Baba's also given in great detail, like scarcity of everything, scarcity of water and food and all of that sort of thing. So I guess at an individual level, what we should be concentrating on is a simpler lifestyle, simpler food, simpler arrangements, and at the same time spiritually very, very elevated. So simple living but high thinking. Part of my own individual would to become detached. And I guess this is what we were talking about today: practice these things, practice Baba's drills, associate more and more and more with our eternal role rather than our temporary one, because it's the eternal role that will sort out the temporary one. Whatever complications that you would have remembered now were probably connected with your temporary state. Even the Brahmin, you know, I'm not eternally a Brahmin. I'm just temporarily a Brahmin, right? The life of 84. who am I? I'm the soul that has all of the 84 births, not the soul in this body and this time. So I have to associate more and more with that, and that will audibly help me become detached from details of the temporary situation. So detachment and purity, I suppose. Purity is absolutely essential at this time. So pure thinking and pure, not going into much simpler thinking, don't do much. Don't go into details. Don't even think. You don't need to think about it. So be economical and that sort of thing at an individual at this time. And simpler living as well will help us. Less, very simple food maybe. Simple practices. There's a difference between needs, facilities, comforts and luxuries. So I should be more towards just fulfilling the basic needs and away from the luxury and comfort side. If I'm attached to comforts, I'll probably have a hard time as the destruction comes close. Right? I won't have those facilities either, just basic needs. So I start to work on what are my real needs and just keep closer to that side, I'll probably be safer. Okay? Anyone else? And in fact, he started the meeting saying, this is our second last meeting. And we thought he was joking. But no. Next year you may not be able to come here. The way the things are happening, shutting down airports and airline companies, shutting off flights and all sorts of things. The world is in a state of panic at the moment. So will it get better or just get worse? Who knows? No one knows. So she said, this is our second last meeting. We have our last meeting this year will be in October. He was talking about the RC meeting, you know. So he started off, welcome to our second last meeting. What? Okay, then we understood what he was talking about. Okay, let's have some mission to finish off. I know you had some meditate for. Lovely to be here.
कदम कदम पे मदद तुम्हारी ये एहसास दिलाती है कदम कदम पे मदद तुम्हारी ये एहसास दिलाती है सोचो तुमको कौन मिला है सोचो तुमको कौन मिला है कौन तुम्हारा साथी है कदम कदम पर मदद तुम्हारी ये एहसास दिलाती है पास मेरे आ जाते हो पल भर जब भी होते अकेले पास मेरे आ जाते हो धीमे धीमे कानों में अनहद नाद सुनाते हो एक किरण अनदेखी आती किरण अनदेखी अभी राह दिखा कर जाती है, भरते हुए ना किसी ने देखा पर झोली भर जाती है, कदम कदम पर मदद तुम्हारी ये एहसास दिलाती है।